All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 30 of the Porchcast. 30, that's how old I am.
It's a good number. It's a good round, even number.
Good round, even number.
3-0. For the OCD people in the world.
Sounds old.
Yeah. And kudos to us for actually knowing what episode it is.
We talked about it like 3 times.
Yeah, before, we did. So. But, you know, guys, really exciting episode. We've got a lot to talk about. This is the first episode of the year. Jesse, Hunter, welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thanks for coming to Call to Arms.
Yeah, we are broadcasting from Call to Arms. This is Jesse, my co-host just talked about, and Hunter Grondin also in the studio today. Guys, how's it going? How's your New Year starting out?
It's been really great. So I don't know about Hunter over here.
Passed out by midnight.
The old Hunter Grondin special, as we like to call it. Anyway, guys, we have lots to talk about. We're going to touch on big beers up in Breckenridge this year. We also want to do a little recap of some of our favorites from 2016. We've got a lot of other stories that we want to get to. But before we do, let's jump right into a little shout out to our sponsors. A big thank you to First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. They've been our sponsor for the past year. It's for those people who aren't familiar, it's a pour your own draft system. That's right, folks. You can go up and actually measure how much or how little beer that you actually want, and you can actually pour it from the tap yourself, so you can get a little taste of something, or you can actually get a full pour. I know right now they just recently tapped Dino S'mores, which is from Off Color Brewing in Chicago. So they've got a really diverse tap list, and we like to call it the adult version of Froyo. So it's like adult Froyo. You can go and try a little sample of something, or try a full pour.
It's just too much fun.
Too much fun. That's right. They're located at 1309 26th Street in Denver, Colorado. It's right on Larimer, 26th and Larimer. And that First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. Be sure to go out and try them out. And also, I've got some exciting news, guys. We have a new sponsor that has joined the show.
That's fantastic news.
While many of you out there are stowing away bottles and barrel-aged stouts, you got Barrel Age Wilds. It's equally as important to stow away some of your money. So I know a lot of you guys are hoarding bottles. It's time to really make sure you're investing with your savings as well. Saving money and paying off debts are two of the biggest New Year's financial resolutions. So do it the smart way. Visit our friends at latitudefinancialgroup.com. That's LATITUDE financialgroup.com. Latitudefinancialgroup.com. To get off to the right start in 2017, start saving money and lowering your taxes today. Go to latitudefinancialgroup.com to schedule a complimentary meeting now. Go to latitudefinancialgroup.com today.
Ka-ching.
Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors. Latitude Financial Group is not affiliated with Securities America. Securities America and Latitude Financial Group do not provide tax and legal advice. I don't know if I was supposed to read all of that, but I did.
You did, and you covered your bases.
And one breath.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's jump right into it, folks. We are broadcasting from Call to Arms. That is where Jesse is employed and also the co-founder of. Jesse, tell us what's new at Call to Arms before we jump into things.
Well, new for people like Tristan who haven't been here in about 6 months. We've got
called out.
We built an addition back in August, so we got shuffleboard out there, the kind you find in a dive bar, and we're starting a shuffleboard league on Thursday, so I'm pretty pumped about that. We just introduced our first year-round IPA, CTA IPA. Really, really happy with
that. That's what I'm drinking, and it is delicious.
Thank you very much. A lot of citrus, but still got a little bitterness on the end there, you know? Still kind of juicy, if you will. So, yeah, just a lot of fun
stuff. It's so juicy. I feel like you just took a bunch of fruit and just, like, squeezed the shit out of it.
Totally.
It's, like,
juicy
in my mouth.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, it's actually a fantastic IPA. I really like this. I really like drinking this right now.
The cloudy IPA geeks will love it. They will love it.
Yeah. No, it's delicious. it's really cool to see your all's addition and shuffleboard. That's not just for old people.
No, it's for alcoholics too.
And, that's right.
So yeah, those that are gonna I'm a big dive bar fan. My business partners are also big dive bar fans, and so we've always loved shuffleboard. And my business partner Chris, his father said, as a gift for us getting the brewery open, he'd get us a custom made shuffleboard table.
Right.
So yeah, it's really neat. And beyond that, and we got our community supported artisans.
Paying for the sand.
The sand?
Yeah.
That comes out of our pocket.
I thought we'd take like a beach vacation. Bring the sand back.
It's just no joke. It's all like silicone beads, and it's actually right over there. It's called our style is T4. It's a little bit faster.
Regulation sand.
So, yeah.
I like how we've turned into a shuffleboard podcast.
Regulation size table.
It's actually
regulation sand.
Called wax. So, welcome to the jungle.
In the next chapter, we're going into the finer points of wax beads that go on shuffleboards. Join us for this thrilling. No, we're not going to get into that. Seriously, I'm really pumped. You guys have had a big year here at Call to Arms. It's great to see a lot of recognition. I know you guys were featured in, was it Beer Advocate?
I think it was
Draft Mag.
Yeah, it's been some good features. The media has been really great. And I don't know, City of Denver and the breweries here and the beer coverage here is really, the support's incredible. Even coming from Boulder, where I worked in beer for 6.5 years. There's a great beer scene up there as well, but just the passion and the love of craft beer down here in Denver it's incredible.
Speaking of Boulder and your former employer, Avery, we've got some exciting news. Hunter and I are actually going to be recording the very next podcast up in Fort Collins with Andy Parker, who's with Avery. Is it the Barrel Herder?
He's the Barrel Herder. Yeah. Yep. And he says meow a lot.
Meow?
Yeah.
Okay.
So be prepared.
I'll be sure to work meow in as often as possible.
And
right
him
now.
And I still communicate quite a bit about Bruce Springsteen. He sends me a lot of links to Springsteen stuff.
I like getting the dirt on our guests before we jump into it. And then also we'll be, as part of that podcast, we'll have Lauren Salazar, who is essentially around the same position for New Belgium Brewing, and also Gert from Oud Biercel, who his brewery is partaking in the collaboration for Transatlantic Creek, for those who aren't familiar. It's a collaboration that New Belgium does with Belgian breweries each year. And so we're going up to Fort Collins. We're going to the New Belgium Brewery headquarters to kind of talk to them about sours. And I'm really pumped about that.
Excited. I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie.
Hunter's,
I don't feel like I belong in that group.
Hunter's going to be...
Yeah.
I can't wait to see Hunter try to interview Lauren Salazar.
I've tried to talk to Lauren Salazar a few times and embarrass myself. The amount of stuttering I've just let loose.
It'll probably be like a solid 7 minutes of awkwardness, and then I think you'll find a groove.
Yeah, seven beers, seven minutes.
I feel like the start of that interview is Hunter, like that SNL skit where he's like, hey Lauren, remember that time you guys made Lawfully?
I got shushed by Lauren Salazar one time.
Oh.
It was awesome.
How little did you feel at
honest,
that moment?
No, it was an honest, like, genuine shush.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to explain how happy I was. We did a collaboration beer with New Belgium last year, and I was trying to tell her just how thankful I was. I probably rambled, but my voice was gone. So I had no voice. Like, all collaboration fest had faded away, and afterwards I was trying to explain to her how happy I was, and she put her finger to my lips and shushed me.
Oh, so it was kind of like a sensual
it was
shush.
Like, yeah, it was a sensual
very
shush.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, I took it as a...
How brief feel about that?
Oh, I don't think it was that sensual. No, but she was looking out for me. She was worried for my voice.
Oh.
She said she understood what I was getting at, and she said...
That's so thoughtful.
She was happy to do it as well, but yeah, it was...
I'm really jealous. I wish I could go to that.
Yeah.
I really wish I could go to that.
We're just going to live tweet at you the entire time about all the awesome things we're talking about.
Hashtag shush.
At least we got this.
Yeah.
Number 30.
We're really excited. Also a reminder, and in classic porch drinking fare, we realized that apparently the Porchcast wasn't very searchable on iTunes. But we fixed that now. So I want to remind everyone to be sure to subscribe on iTunes so that you can check out more episodes, including the one we have coming up with Lauren Salazar and Gert from Oud Biercel and Andy Parker from Avery. Lots of great stuff coming forward in the new year. We've got some really, really exciting interviews lined up. But even more exciting, I'm actually really pumped about this episode, episode 30. It's just the squad.
Just the boys.
Just the boys here hanging out. We're going to be
in this office. Hey, put your gloves back on.
Let's jump right into it, folks. Let's talk a little bit about some of our favorite finds from 2016. Jesse, Hunter, let's start with beers. What were some of the beers that impressed you the most from this past year?
Well, I can just mention the ones I talked about in the Denver Post, because they really were the two that really knocked my socks off this year. One was Oak Theory from Casey Brewing and Blending. It was, to me, like the first time I tasted a Cantillon. It had such authenticity to it. It really, if someone put that in a glass and said this was a Cantillon, I would have said, yeah, that's incredible. That beer was great. And then the other one, Dumavati from True. That beer, so it's a smoked, lightly soured beer. I'm a smoked beer fanatic. One of the first beers I ever had at True back in the day was their, I forget the name now, but it was smoked with a Chinese tea. And it was fantastic, and I begged Nick to brew it again. Diatima, that's what it was called. And so anyway, they nailed it with, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Dumavati. All beers originally, before kilning, were smoked. And they say historically all beers would have been sour to some degree. So to me, it's like a super historical beer while still being just fantastic. So great job to Zach and Allison and the crew over at True.
Yeah. I like your descriptions.
Thanks, buddy.
You remember beer well.
Thank you.
I think I have too many to like remember them.
He's like,
I had a lot of that brewery. They're all good. Yeah, they're all blending together. Yeah.
Hunter's like, it's great beer.
I do. I'll say I do. I do better at like remembering breweries. I'm not very great at remembering specific beers, but I will say one beer, I guess this is not really, doesn't really count for 2016. I think it was released in 2016, but I had it in 2017, was Station 26's, it's called BGS. It's a barrel-aged golden strong ale. I think it was aged in Cabernet wine barrels.
And it
blew my mind. I went around big beers, had tried lots of beers, and I got to Station. I was pumped. I had Salted Caramel Dark Star, which I went there, which was absolutely fantastic. Then I just decided to try this one while I was there, and it was mind blowing. I thought it was one of the best barrel-aged beers that I've had in Colorado for sure. Maybe altogether, but the oak character that they got from those barrels was just on point, and it struck me, and immediately texted Chelsea, and she put a bottle aside for me at the brewery, because I got to relive that beer experience, and then,
nice.
I don't know, see, that's why it's tough, I guess it's all the banquets I drink, too, that make this beer thing cloudy. Gosh, I'm going to have to go with Media Noche. Probably throughout last year, every time I had that beer from Weldworks up in Greeley, I just like it reminded me like how I mean, you know you have certain beers enough times you're like yep, it just kind of becomes falls into that like just good category. And every time I had that beer, I was like this beer is, can I say fuck on this thing?
Yeah, you can.
It's fucking awesome. I forget that I can use F bombs here, big boy.
This is an F bomb inclusive
big boy talk
podcast.
Sorry, Mom, even though I'm pretty sure once I think I've got my mom to start dropping F-bombs again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
She did ask you recently what your favorite booze was, right?
She did. My mom straight up texted me yesterday and said, what is your favorite kind of booze?
Just across the...
That's it. Yeah. I wanted to ask.
That's how you know your mom's an OG.
Yeah, great question, Mom. But are we talking like style, type, brand? Like, hold on. That's a very broad question, but I love it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Of course, Hunter rattles off like 20 text messages to his mom, like detailing every single kind of booze that he could possibly go into.
Anyway, speaking of booze, though, we're on topic of booze. My one other beer is Slow Pour Pils from Bierstadt. And I get the hype is there. They totally lived up to their hype. They open with an absolute list of bangers, and I'm going to say that Slow Pour Pils, which is almost like, I want to say chlorine-colored, would you guys agree? That is like the lightest, most flavorful beer I think I've ever had.
Yeah, I bet you the glassware has a lot to do with it, really.
Totally. It's so light, it has like a greenish hue through the glassware. You look, you think it's going to taste light, which it does, but again, just packs a punch at the same time for a beer that color.
Absolutely.
They're crushing it.
Yeah. For me, I would have to go. I think Weldworks is doing tremendous stuff too, and I mentioned that in kind of my roundup. I think their Media Noche and Achromatic series are both fantastic. I'm a big fan of what's coming out of Black Project. I think that their Lunix, done with their sour with coffee, their coffee sour, was fantastic. The only other time that I had a coffee sour that kind of blew my mind was from. Crooked Stave was their nightcap.
That was tremendous as well. I think 2 or 3 years ago. But, Spawn from Jester King, I was really blown away by that.
What's that?
It's a Method Goose, as Jeffrey Stuffings called it. I think it's a blend of 3 years of spontaneous ales, and it just came out so delicate and nuanced and just really beautiful. It's like it's such a complex and intimate kind of beer experience, and I really enjoyed just the tiny little sip that I got from that. I'm hoping to track down a bottle, but I think it's changing the game in American brewing. For him to be able to create something like that, replicating the style from Cantillon, using old hops that have been kind of aging in their closet or in the roof for a couple months. It's just a beautiful process, and you should read up more on the Jester King website. I think the Rusty Nail from Fremont is also a tremendous bourbon barrel aged stout that was phenomenal. And I know I'm a little bit biased, but the Rented World Session IPA that we created at Jason Alley created at Ratio Beer Works, it's my everyday drinking beer. Very similar to something crushable like this CTA IPA. It's just a great kind of hoppy beer that is perfect for midweek,
Totally, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see any out of state breweries? Yeah, I kind of focused solely on Colorado. Did you get any?
No, I've really, these days, I've lost track of a lot of the bomber purchases, strictly mainly because of the fact that I'm super broke. and when I could spend $10 on a six pack or $10 on a bomber.
Believe it or not, the podcasting business is not super lucrative.
Shit, Tristan.
Oh, wait, you guys didn't know that?
Only job.
I didn't.
But, yeah.
See you guys.
I try, when I get a chance, when I'm at Hops and Pie or other places like that, I'll have the opportunity to try different little tastes of things. I haven't been to a bottle share out. I can't tell you how long.
Yeah.
As far as like my beer geekdom is concerned, there was probably a time 3 years ago when I can go into any liquor store and be like, I've tried everything I want to, but I've lost touch with that.
Yeah. Well, you just recently tried American Solera. And you
that's what
right?
I was going to bring up. So yeah, I just got to try American Solera. I tried two of their beers at Big Beers a couple of weeks ago. One that I love is that Oak Age Farmhouse Ale. Again, the oak character that I got out of that beer, and just I could obviously taste the base saison that they did in that beer. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, I just picked up some.
It was just so balanced.
I picked up a bottle of that down at Small Batch, which is right down the street from here.
I did that too yesterday.
It's a fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, so cause for debate here.
Yeah.
And have you heard of anybody in the last 5 years opening a specialty Saison wild sour project that wasn't super hyped and popular? Like, is it almost too easy to open that style of brewery and immediately get hyped these days?
I guess maybe some breweries that have opened and are doing that, Jester King, for example, have probably paved the way. So they might have created this automatic assumption that a brewery that's going to open and kind of follow that path, it's just going to be good. Like, those guys must know what they're up to and what they're doing. It's kind of a bold move, but if someone's doing it...
I'm not going to name any names, but that was kind of my strategy at GABF for breweries that I didn't know. One of the things that we do with Porch Drinking every year is that we actually reach out to every single brewery to find out what they're pouring at the festival before the Brewers Association releases that information.
Wow, awesome.
And so... this year, from the responses, we probably got about 75% of the breweries to respond, which was incredible. But from the breweries that responded, I kind of did a little digging, and it was like, all right, who's brewing some of these wild sours and wild fermented ales and saisons and whatnot? And looking at that list, that's what I built my trying to find the next big brewery. Just because that the hype is there, I think that you're completely on point. Like, if someone knows how to brew a really good wild fermented beer, or like a wild blend, or like a tremendous sour brewery, then that's definitely something that people are gravitating towards. That kind of takes that brewery to the next level in terms of fandom. And so I went around and tried as many of those as possible. And there were definitely some that weren't very good. I'm not going to name any names, I think that we've been really lucky here in Colorado that most of the one, pretty much every single one that has ventured into that knows the science behind it, has really done the research and is doing it, you know, to perfection, or at least near perfection. And so we've been really blessed to have those available to us. But there are definitely some people who are hopping on that bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you now, like, if you're starting a brewery and you wanted to really get attention right out the gate, you know, do a wild or do a sour or also do a bourbon barrel aged stout. Like, those are exactly what
I'm
beer
not
geeks...
trying to take anything away from them, but I keep reading about, like, Wolves and People and, like, breweries opening on the West Coast. We met up with the folks from Ale Song and they were really good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a lot of these breweries popping up across the country, American Solera, all that. And I feel like even without ever trying a beer, people are already losing their minds just based on the premise of what that
so American
brewery
Solera
is
a little different.
Yeah. Sure, I get it.
Yeah, they're kind
I get
of
it.
On the side.
Well, I mean, yeah, but Chase Healy comes from Prairie, so he's gotten a strong pedigree.
What about Crooked Stave? I barely hear about them anymore, and they're making some of the best beer in Jolly Pumpkin.
Yeah. Yeah.
When was the last time you lost their mind over Jolly Pumpkin?
And XO Saison? Yeah, the Hibiscus Saison, I can't ever find anymore in Colorado.
So I just wonder.
Well, I mean, along that same vein, I mean, New Belgium, who was the grandfather or grandmother of
people that have paved the way
of, like, you know, barrel aged sours like that. They created the movement. You know, they really helped pave that way, and I think that having sorry about that. We having, you know, those founding breweries are often being lost in the hype of all this other stuff that's happening now.
I read so many articles in, like, Beer Advocate, and they're often referencing, like, breweries that have been open for 3 years or less. And that's fine, because it's called arms as and ratio as. And I'm not knocking that, but going back to this very topic, it's like, there's a lot of breweries that have been doing this for a long, 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 even Oma Gang, you know? Like, breweries like this have been doing a lot of brewing,
still working on
classic style brewing for a long time.
Totally.
Don't get the hype.
You mean outside of the industry in a way, or inside? Or
inside
both?
The industry.
Inside the industry. Interesting. Yeah, because I feel like when I, you know, when I talk to people in the industry, they do have it, or it's a quick reminder, and somebody will admit, oh yeah, no, totally. Like New Belgium, Lauren Salazar, you know, those guys up there have paved the way for sour beers across the United States. I mean, they dedicated the Fooder Forest.
I know.
Like, they're still trying to perfect. And they're still trying to work with partners and make better beer and the best beer possible all the time. So, yeah, they're so big. I think, you know, sometimes it gets lost. But you want to try one of the best dark sours ever made? Buy Lawfully.
Like, know. I wonder if Bierstadt focused on wilds and sours, if they would be all over the cover of every magazine right now. Meanwhile, they're brewing these delicious lagers
that are
super old world German. Right. And those in the know are like, this is some of the best beer I've ever had.
I see.
But sometimes people are like, Bierstadt, never heard of it. You know,
right.
So I don't know.
It's kind of, you know, I like to harken back, and we're hoping to get this article out very soon, but we're going to be doing a post on the OGs of craft beer, which are people who paved the way, like Fat Tire from New Belgium, and Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I think Sierra Nevada is kind of the perfect example of that. Still making tremendous beer. They've been doing it for the longest time possible.
Yeah.
And we want to go back and take a look at
that. I love Celebration.
Yeah,
absolutely love that.
Absolutely. Anyway, you talked about trying American Solera at Big Beers, and we referenced it before, but let's talk a little bit about that. Does that fall under your favorite beer festival of 2016?
Is that in 2016? No.
So. I guess 2017. We'll extend it out a little bit farther, but beginning of 2016.
Had I have gone in 2016 as well? Yes, that was my first experience. So I'm going to throw it into 2016 for me personally.
Okay.
I didn't go. This is my first time. And yes, I thought it was a fantastic festival. I heard a little bit of gripes. I think that the people that run the fest over at, now in Breckenridge, are going to figure it out. For me personally, as a first time experience, I thought it was awesome. I was blown away by the beer. But the people that I saw industry wise was just great all around.
I dare someone to throw an event and someone's not bitching about it.
That was a perfect event. So
Jesse, you've been to Big Beers, right?
I've never been to Big Beers.
Oh,
man.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, next year we're going to try to make it in our budget to bring the Porch Drinking Podcast show.
In my own room.
Sounds good.
The Porchcast.
You know, I'm
a
session beer guy. I'm pushing for John to make the best non-alcoholic hoppy beer that he can.
Yeah.
So, but I'd love to go sometime.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I unfortunately didn't get to attend Big Beers this year, and it is a big point of contention. But my presence was apparently felt, because a big shout out to Ryan Hannigan from Focus on the Beer for printing out a cardboard cutout of me and bringing it through the entire session.
I was walking
through.
It's
very nice of him.
And I stopped because I saw people taking a photo with with cardboard Tristan. Big Beers Tristan. Hashtag yes. Big Beers Tristan. And from a short distance, so I decided to, you know, take a side photo of a photo being taken of Tristan, who was also a photo. And
you just incepted the minds of all of our listeners.
But as I was doing that, a girl, maybe her boyfriend or guy, were walking by, and she turned to him and goes, "Is that guy famous or something?" I lost it. I was like, "Yes, that is so great."
The classic sham is to print out a cardboard cutout of yourself and bring it to events, and then people will think you're famous. So that's how you build a brand, folks. Marketing 101. Just cardboard cutouts. That's
Let's jump back into the 2016 Beer Fest. I want you guys to talk, though, because I've got Beer Fest block. I went to a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's easy. I love Collab Fest. I love the process behind
it.
I
that
love
should be
the
a,
meeting up with everybody. I love the communication and the camaraderie. It's a lot.
I totally agree with you. That would be mine as well. So maybe we should pick one besides Collab Fest, because
I don't do nearly as many as you.
I do. Sorry, 20 to 30.
What about you, Tristan?
I think 2016 Big Beers probably was my favorite, because I did get to actually talk to, like, Jeffrey Stuffing of Jester King, and sit down with him, and Eric Ponce from, at the time, Goose Island. Now he's actually joining Firestone Walker, which really pumped for him and his family. That's a really awesome opportunity. But, you know, Big Beers is just such an intimate event. It brings out some of the biggest names in craft beer. Patrick Rue just was pouring me stuff from the brewery, like, you know,
that's
from
awesome.
The bottle. And, you know, Wicked Weed brought their Angel of Darkness, which is still, actually, that's one of my favorite beers of 2016 as well. But it really does breweries who attend this festival always bring some of their best stuff just because they want to show off. And they know kind of the allure of this festival. It's not in downtown Denver. You kind of have to travel to make this a destination festival to attend, so it adds a little something extra. Sam Calgioni and Adam Avery attend pretty much every year, and so, you know, it's an all-star cast. People bring an all-star lineup, and the event is run tremendously well. Big props to Laura Lodge and the Big Beers team. So
I still love GAB.
I got mine.
Okay.
I think it's called Lake Dillon Beer Festival. It's a guild fest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's and right. That one was just, it was maybe...
Run by the Colorado Brewers Guild?
Yep. Super chill. Cool little mountain fest. Great clientele. And the weather this year was perfect, too, right on Lake Dillon. So, yeah, I had a great time at that festival.
Okay.
They provide a little cabin to stay in, a couple places.
You're going
to
head up this year? I think it's
June 10th. I highly recommend it. Yep. It was laid back. We didn't have to bring a ton of beer, but it was definitely craft beer focused. It's not overdone. It was very tasteful, well done.
I was happy with Sesh Fest moving out of Sculpture Park too, and being up at the up on Federal, and it was just way more shade.
The Masonic Temple or whatever.
Masonic Temple, yeah. That's
all session beers, correct?
Yeah, that's right up my alley.
All right, guys. Jesse, I want to ask you, what new brewery are you most excited to see open in 2017?
In 2017?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, I just checked the brewery out for the first time, and I'm so pumped about them. Cellar West Artisan Ales up in Boulder. And I don't know if you folks are too familiar with Boulder who are listening. I think the two of you in this room are. But the bus stop, strip club up in northwest Boulder.
We're going into where bus stop was.
So the bus stop is still thriving, apparently, somehow. They got a new sign. Good for them.
A strip club. Brewery.
So, anywho, they're up in that area, and they are tucked back, and it is the most passion project thing I've seen in a long time. It's the dude Zach, who helped open Sinitas, and it's just him and his wife, and he's working the bar on Saturdays, and he's got two bottles that he releases. He's got three so far that he's released total. The two that I had were just delicious, all barrel fermented. He's getting his work from Wildwoods. And I love to see, like, just knowing how much work it takes to open a brewery, to see someone doing it by themselves with their spouse or one of their friends, like it's a lot of work. So the beers were great, the concept is great, and I'm really excited to see where he goes.
I'm a little confused. You mentioned strip club, tucked back, and brewery, and I don't really know what exactly is happening.
Yeah, it was all wild yeast too. So okay. Yeah.
This is getting really weird up in here.
Oh, yeah.
So wait, it's not affiliated with the strip club in any way.
It's you pregame at Cellar West. And then you go to Bust Out. Okay. I think they have free popcorn at Bust Out.
I'm not a chef club guy. They're real uncomfortable.
How about you guys?
Probably just stay in Southwest. I got mine. It's actually kind of Boulder affiliated as well, or once was. Oasis. It's about to open up West Highlands, about 3 blocks from my house. I know that they were once a brewery in Boulder and shut down.
They're still going for
about
it.
15 years ago or so,
they shut
down in Boulder and are reopening right on the corner of 32nd and Lowell in the old church right there. It's about 4 blocks from my house, so I'm pumped to have a brewery down the street.
The church that's attached to that new residential complex?
Yep. Yeah, it's a 7-barrel brew house they're throwing in there.
Because they've been contracting at Prost for a while.
They have. Yeah. So I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious to check them out. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal choice of mine. It's just a few blocks from my house. So I got them. And
I've got to plug a good friend of ours, Phil Joyce, who is opening Amalgam.
Oh, yeah.
For those who aren't familiar, Powder Keg Brewing in Niwot, Colorado, is where Phil Joyce is the head brewer currently. But him and his business partner, Eric Schmidt, are kind of creating a spinoff brewery that's still going to be brewing out of Powder Keg using their space, but it's a separate entity altogether. And it's Amalgam. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, they're focusing on kind of the what we talked about, wilds and sours. And
Phil's actually proven it, you know, without having to open Amalgam, that he can make some of the most incredible sours and wilds in Colorado.
So Phil actually was our homebrewing editor for Porch Drinking for a while.
Okay.
When we first started out. And I used to go over, try his homebrews, and, you know, usually when people are like, hey, try my homebrew beer, I'm like, I'd rather not, but... Phil actually brewed some of the best beers I've ever tasted, even as a homebrewer.
That's with me and Jason Sombrano. Yeah.
And so that's when you know someone's got the chops to make it in the industry.
Yeah,
so.
We did Peace and Assist with them last year.
Yeah.
And I know they've been dealing with some issues with the feds, weird. But yeah, that's a good call. I cannot wait for those guys to get up and going.
Speaking of this, did you realize the NBWA, I think the National... wholesalers, or I don't remember the actual title, but they did a study recently, or did some research recently. There are currently 7,190 breweries that TTB has permitted in the U.S. for 2016. So that means that accounting for all the breweries that are currently open and the ones that have been permitted through TTB, so those that are currently in planning and has passed TTB kind of inspection, there are 7,180. I know that there are currently over 5,000 breweries in operation, so that means there's another like 2,000 that are like at least on the verge of opening. What do you guys think about that? Do you know, people talk about reading a critical mass and saturation?
I don't know. I mean,
I know what I think about it. I think one, and I will say this, I think it's look out big. Bigger breweries. I think that as more breweries like this open up, I'm gonna go ahead and assume that 7,000 breweries in planning and opening are neighborhood breweries, which is, I mean, that's the way you gotta go. Small town neighborhood breweries, which means that people are gonna stop there on the way home. They're gonna fill a growler. They're not gonna go to a liquor store. They're not gonna buy a six pack from a brewery. I don't know. It's, you know, too far away to go to.
Yeah.
So I think that's gonna be a major impact. I'm not surprised though. I think neighborhood, you know, breweries. In Colorado and the United States are going to flourish. They're going to continue to flourish. People like going to their neighborhood breweries, and it's a community involvement, and they like supporting small business. So I think it's great. But
I think it'll affect Bud Miller Coors, and I think it'll definitely affect Sierra Nevada, Avery's, Dogfish Heads of the world that have big region. Like look at Stone, you know, laying folks off. What Green Flash?
Green Flash just announced 25 layoffs as well, I think.
I mean, Oscar Blues now has 4 breweries, just most recently down in Texas. I think that why are you buying an IPA from Brewery A in California when your buddy's making one in your backyard in Missouri, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that'll affect a lot of distribution channels for sure. I don't know. I mean, when we wrote our business plan, there was not nearly this many, and there was still a lot at that time, and we always held it up against the wine industry and how many wines and wineries were still in existence in the U.S. But now we're, like, getting closer to that.
Yeah,
so,
it's funny. You and Ratio, the founders, are very much on the same page and,
right,
at that state, yeah.
And pretty soon we're going to be at what it was, like, 10,000. And, you know, of course, the press will latch onto the closings and saying, oh, there's the bubble, it's happening. It's like, well, when there's more growth, there's going to be more closings. That's just how it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's just it's business. It's natural. It's like any industry. Yeah.
But I'm excited for it. I really am.
Talking about new beers, there's a big beer that's kind of a big collaboration thing that's happening here in Denver that's making national headlines, Pussy Riot Beer.
Hell yeah.
You guys want to dive into that a little bit? Jesse?
I need someone so I love what they're doing with the beer. You know, I know a few of those brewers, Calissa over at Gold Spot, she's awesome. Everyone knows best, but... I needed an explanation.
You might know best, Tristan. You've got your finger on the pulse.
I didn't know
so essentially,
the connection or the name.
Yeah, essentially, the story behind this beer, it's called Pussy Riot Beer. And it's essentially a collection of women brewers who are coming together to make a collaboration beer for the inauguration as kind of a statement that promotes inclusiveness and awareness for women's rights and also awareness for acceptance as a whole. And I think overall, the name Pussy Riot comes from the band that also was kind of like a statement band. So I think a lot of people are very confused by the name, but it's really just meant to raise awareness. And I think it's really awesome to see so many strong women brewers and talented women brewers come together and create something very powerful.
I agree.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when did it become like a divisive issue to support women's rights, you know?
Right.
Like there's been people that have been hating on this concept. And I just don't know. We all came from our mothers, and I just don't understand why it's an issue for women to stand up for the rights that are blatantly being trampled on. Like,
right.
It's without hesitation. It's happening every day.
Yeah, and this is really meant to promote inclusiveness. I think that having that conversation is really important, and supporting the ability to, especially in an industry that traditionally was so male dominated, I think it's very important that we open up inclusiveness to allow women, the chance to speak out for this industry, and I think that. In terms of actually like promoting beer to not just men, like I think that's really important. I think it's really important to have women brewers and have equality in this workplace and not make it feel so exclusive to be a boys club, you know?
Sure.
So, this is really exciting. Speaking of, the Women's March is coming up this weekend. What, you guys marching with me?
Yeah. What time are we leaving?
I think I'm honestly I'm down. But I do have some questions. All right.
Is this on Friday or Saturday?
It's Saturday.
I got to get my steps in, so I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't step.
Okay. First of all, I have some questions, and I'm not trying to minimalize the march because I am legitimately going. I love women. I respect women, and I really do want to support women. But I also want to support my right to be proactive and participate in the political realm. But I do have some questions about the Women's March. Hunter, this question goes out to you. What happens on a Women's March? Am I allowed to bring my
leotard?
Jammy pack? Is the Women's March something that you're supposed to play music and like? Are there floats involved? I know they're definitely signs. And also, Jesse, for you, what sign should I make for the Women's March?
Heck yeah, ladies.
That's it?
Heck yeah, ladies.
Heck yeah, ladies. The most generic response.
You put me on the spot. I thought I had a lot of
charisma. Hunter, what kind of climate is this, is the Women's March?
Climate?
Like, should climate? Is it a celebratory or is it like super serious?
Am I supposed to
prep? Powerful.
I think it's going to be like Occupy, right? Movie. There'd be a Occupy, militant faction, yes. And there'd be like a peaceful faction.
Yeah.
We really should have... This shows you how much show prep that went into this. We really should have had someone from the Women's March come to speak.
I would probably have a sign that says, my girlfriend's a better photographer than I am.
Well, that's absolutely
true. Exactly. Or, I don't know, something to raise awareness, that make a light joke while you're there as a man, but you're in there in a support of women and women's
okay, rights. So you're going for like kind
you
of
want
like...
You want to have fun with it, but yeah, obviously the movement.
You're going with the route of like, hey, I'm a guy.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha, I'm not as...
I think there's going to be thousands of males there.
Yes. Oh, I'm not worried about that. Yeah. I think that...
you will not be alone.
I think that it is definitely a march for both sexes, I highly encourage both sexes to come out and really support... Or any sex, sorry. Any sex to come out, any gender to come out and support your right to speak out. But
you'll have your Miss Lippy, have your soccer mom.
Am I allowed to party? Are we allowed to party, or is this
totally.
Like...
This is in celebration and a powerful movement.
Okay,
absolutely.
Cool. Good deal. Jamie Pack, on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Camelback with booze? Yes? No?
You might want some water.
Water. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
That's DC.
Let's move right along. Before we do, I just want to give out another shout out to Latitude Financial. Once again, you know, right now, we just had an article that came out about not cellaring your beer and drinking what you have. But one thing that you do want to save up is you want to be sure to save money and make sure paying off debt is a priority in 2017. Saving more money and paying off debt, two of the biggest New Year's financial resolutions. Do it the smart way. The folks over at Latitude Financial Group offer a tremendous amount of resources for you to learn about how you can better save your money. I'm personally trying to save for a house in the next year or two, so I'm going to utilize Latitude Financial as a resource because not only do I want to save for a house, but I also want to save for beers to pop in. And celebrate the grand opening of my house. So go to latitudefinancialgroup.com.
Just a kegger.
Oh, yeah, kegerator. That's right. Yeah. So in order to save for all these major expenses, utilize Latitude Financial Group. Start saving money and lowering your taxes today. Go to latitudefinancialgroup.com to schedule a complimentary meeting. Also, you know, big shout out to our friends over at First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. If I want to know what kind of beers that I want to save for my upcoming hypothetical kegerator,
right.
I want to be able to sample them first.
Yeah, yeah.
And so first
it's
up,
very cyclic.
Yeah. I'll let you borrow my black card and go in there and just go nuts.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to put all the taps open and just like... It's called the suicide. That's right. I'm going to go from one tap down the row and just put my face underneath it and drink up all the beers.
You'll know in a bad way, too.
No, actually, they First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, they really do have a premier lineup of beers. It's a great way for you to sample a little of everything. Or just go for your favorite. They're at 26th and Larimer here in Denver, Colorado. So, guys, we are about to kick off 2017 in a big way. What are your big predictions for this next year?
In life or in the industry?
I'm open to whatever.
Interesting. I think I'd like to. I'm very interested to see the continued trajectory of the hazy IPA movement in this industry. I've been reading a lot of end of year reviews, and you're hearing a lot of people discuss hazy IPAs. This one subgenre within a very popular style, and I just, you know, sour beers were so popular. And they blew up about, 3 years ago. And they continue to be popular. And I don't think hazy IPAs are going anywhere. I just, if I were a brewery that all of my sales growth was based around one style of beer, I'd be very interested in my 5 to 10 year plan and how that's going to flesh itself out. The consumer's tastes change really, really quickly. And sometimes at the end of the day, you find out that folks actually just want a Coors Original.
Yeah.
So what bothers me most, I think, about the hazy IPA movement is that it really has brainwashed fans and beer writers to think that they have more flavor and that they are actually juicier. That is simply not the case. I just cannot argue that enough, and it frustrates me so much that if it's not a juicy, hazy IPA, it's considered overly bitter and not as flavorful, and that is not the case. So that's my own little tangent. But I'd like to see, you know, as you mentioned earlier, Tristan, like barrel-aged stouts and stuff, those style of beers are very popular, and they've always been very popular, and they will continue to do so. I'd be interested to see within, I think, a segment of craft beer that sells 60% of the SKUs and craft beer IPAs. I'd be interested to see how long this hazy movement can keep its momentum.
So I haven't seen anything proven yet, but I want to know shelf life. I mean, these IPAs are so popular that they fly. You know, they don't see a 3-4 month shelf life. I want to see that. I really do. I haven't seen anyone come out yet with any sort of, people talk about having no shelf life, but I want to see people come out and have some sort of lab test that with proof. It's like, yeah, your hazy IPA that you love so much, you better drink it fast because 1 month later, it's not going to be as good.
Yeah.
Phil Joyce took a can of beer from a hazy IPA brewer in Ohio, and he told me he pitched it into a carboy and it fully fermented the beer that he was brewing.
Really?
Now, does that sound like a beer that you want to drink? It doesn't to me. And what's also funny to me is that it doesn't seem to matter how opaque these beers are. There's a difference between a chill haze and then there's just that pure opaque grayness that you see too.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I don't know. I'm not trying to knock the style. I am just trying to say
I've
that
some really
I wouldn't
ones.
Put, you know, all my eggs in one basket.
So my prediction for 2017 is the rise of the hazy amber, Rocky Mountain style amber.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's
the Rocky Mountain style amber.
Okay.
Sediment everywhere. It's just it's the next big craze.
All right.
Yeah.
Cause what about hazy? Yeah, that's.
And you know what? If you have an amber that isn't hazy, throw some sand in it. That's all I have to say.
So we could do a hazy Vienna lager.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Yes. Maybe a hazy red.
Call it a Zoigle beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
They're all beach-themed, and they're going to be sponsored by the Beach Boys.
I am simply not trying to bash the style. I just don't know. I'd be very nervous to base my business around one popular craze.
Yeah, absolutely. No, my big prediction for 2017, and this is solely for the entertainment of Hunter Grondin, is that Gregory Alan Isaacoff will become the greatest artist that ever performed.
Wow.
The best nap time artist.
Well, Hunter missed a great show, didn't he?
Yeah, Jesse and I were both happened to run into each other earlier this week at Gregory Alan Isaacoff. Actually, last week. Thursday night show, right?
Yep.
With the Colorado Symphony. For those who haven't checked out Gregory Alan Isaacoff, he lives here in Denver. He's from South Africa, and I was honestly blown away. I go to a ton of shows, and that was one of the top five best live musical performances I've ever witnessed. You know, teaming up with the Colorado Symphony just added a new dimension to his music, and it was moving. It was really crazy.
Experience. It was really something. And not to knock him at all, but I saw Elephant Revival with the Symphony like maybe a month ago. I don't know. I stayed awake, yes, and it was a really good show. But the Gregory show was so dramatic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Too. Yeah, like you're saying, like took like the only other show that I've seen in the last 5-10 years that really surprised me that much was when I saw Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
They came to Denver, and I was like, okay, I'll go. This sounds like fun, and it was just like, that is some shit.
She's a goddess.
Hunter, what do you think of when I say the word symphony?
Naps. Oh. You want to talk about how boring it is?
Yeah.
Like boring, like the movie Contact with Joe.
Contact. What? Okay, wait a minute. We got to touch on this a little bit. What's your beef with Contact?
That I think 3/4 of the movie, she's laying on the hood of a car next to satellites, making up bullshit. Because it ends up being fake anyways. She doesn't
Jodie
go anywhere.
Jodie Foster.
Maybe
the whole thing is a hoax.
This podcast haven't seen.
She doesn't even go anywhere. It's not even like she doesn't meet aliens. She like meets her dad maybe in an afterlife. She was dreaming.
Or did she? Maybe they are. They are the aliens.
She just took a nap on the hood of her car in a field.
Oh man, Hunter throwing shade at the movie Contact.
He's very judgmental.
I saw it at a young age, but yeah, movies suck.
I think Hunter is just not as cultured in the realm of symphonies and Jodie Foster.
I've seen some good.
Would you go see
science fiction outer space movies?
ET is going to be at the Symphony later this year. Would you go check that out? Okay. Symphony's doing some really fun things.
Hunter's going to bring a pillow with him.
That's an instant classic. Yeah. You can bring E.T. into this.
I feel pretty lucky at Called Arms to have teamed up with the Symphony. And one of our regulars is a trombone player.
To clear things up with our listeners, I'm being an asshole. I love orchestras and symphonies, and I appreciate all music.
And also, there's a guy, the conductor, the conductor for the Colorado Symphony. His last name's Dragon. How sweet is that?
So we went to Union Lodge 1 after, I think that's what it's called, and we probably got there like maybe 15 minutes after the show. The Dragon was already there.
No way.
In the corner with like babes all around him. Like, it was like the movie Maid. Isn't there a dragon in that as well? Great movie. Anywho, he was macking it.
Dude, this conductor, you've got to, like, if you think of a conductor, a young version of what you would think of a conductor, it's essentially that. He's got this crazy hair that flares out to the side, and it's not gray hair yet. You know, that's clearly 30 years down the line. But the Dragon is just, he's a personality in and of itself. Like, one of the greatest entertainments of that show. I mean, like, the music itself was the best experience, clearly. But part of that whole full scope experience was seeing the Dragon's interactions with Gregory Alan Isaacoff and just him giving these smug, like, approving nods and, like, the thumbs up. Like, it was the best part of my night.
And he goes and crushes booze afterwards.
Yeah, and has an entourage, apparently.
He does.
New goal for 2017. We need to bring the Dragon on the show.
Okay. All right. Deal.
Cool. Whoever has connections out there with the Colorado Symphony, if you're listening, we're bringing the Dragon
on
the show.
He's going to think I'm a dickhead. He just probably he's going to listen to this podcast. Man. No chance.
He'll just shush you
in a sensual way.
I've already been shushed.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to join us and listening to episode 30 of the Porchcast. Big thank you to our co-hosts, Hunter Grandin, Jesse Brookstein. This was a very fun episode. Just a reminder, be sure to check out latitudefinancialgroup.com for any of your needs in terms of learning how to pay off your debts, saving money, or kind of help lowering your taxes. Really tremendous group to help you in kind of financial planning as a whole. And then also First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. Those guys have you fully stocked and covered with trying various types of beer or just getting full pours of whatever you want. It's the adult version of Froyo, guys. It's delicious.
It's so delicious.
Yeah. We'll join you next episode with special guests Lauren Salazar, Andy Parker, and Gert. Do you know Gert's last name?
But he was a serious OG.
Ood Beer Cell.
I'm still real nervous about this.
Really like Skyline Chili.
This podcast.
Ooh, Skyline Chili. All right. Yeah. This is going to – I'm building out this entire episode in my head already, and I'm really excited. So, guys, be sure to follow us and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever device that you're using to listen. Apparently, we got that all fixed. Big shout out to Chris Day, our engineer who does all this awesome stuff. So be sure to subscribe so you can follow us in the future. This has been episode 30 of the Porchcast.
Check you later.